Hi, folks. We are at Carlo Vivari and now talking with our next director about his competition movie for the Crystal Globe. We are here with Mads Mangels and his film, The Guest. This is a family story with Trine Dyrholm in the main role. Very impressive. Just had a chance to talk to her last year and now I'm talking to you about this very exciting story. How did you create it?
I talk a lot with my good partner, Christian Bengtsson, who is the scriptwriter on the film. And we knew for a long time we wanted to make a film about family in some way, like a complex family. So I think that was the beginning. And then we quickly came up with a main character that somewhat reflected ourselves in many different ways. It was just built from there. It took a couple of years and it has been in many different forms and shapes to end up where it is right now.
A central theme is neurodivergence, also like it used to be called mental illness. How did you choose that theme? Do you have any personal experience with it, especially on a family basis?
I have some experience to it, and not so it's a mixture of my own experiences and observations and stories and I've heard and so on. So I draw for some part of my own life, but it is a work of fiction. And I find that mental illness or neurodivergent, I find that whole theme quite interesting because I think we have a hard time like talking about it and expressing ourselves about it. And just right now, what should we call it, for example, to explore that theme in a family, I think is a good arena to do that, because I think a lot of us know that a lot of us have a complex relationship with our family, but with mental illness or neurodiversion, you kind of dial it up to 11, and so that's.
So an essential aspect is also, where do you draw the personal border to protect yourself if you have a family member, especially a parent, who suffers from a condition, and we never have a definition or a diagnosis what actually the mother that's portrayed by Trine Dyrholm suffers from. But there's a strong suggestion that it's schizophrenia, and schizophrenia is maybe one of the most misunderstood mental illnesses that is out there, because most people think that schizophrenic people would be like raving maniacs or that would be dangerous, which is very, very rarely true. Did you research that illness? Did you talk to people who have it or who have experiences with it?
It was very important for us in the beginning and also in the afterlife of the film that we didn't want to like have it to be a film about one kind of illness. We did a lot of research with a lot of different kinds of people, both people suffering from different kinds of mental challenges or illnesses, and also loved one to those people. Got a lot of stories and experiences from those people we tried to put into the character. And I think for all of us, it is a film that has this theme of mental illness and what do you do around it and how do you define it and how do you protect yourself and still be with your loved ones. But I think most and foremost, it's a film about forgiveness and reconciliation with your past. It was important for us that it was first and foremost a family drama with an underlying theme of mental illness of some sort.
So that's an interesting word, forgiveness. So whom do you actually have to forgive, your family members or yourself?
I think both, actually. And I think the day you forgive your parents, you grow up. Like, and the day you can forgive yourself, I think you become a healthier and more wise person. Not saying that I have, but I think it's a difficult task. And you can't force forgiveness. You can't like say, I want to forgive now. It has to come from within and it has to grow out of you in some ways. And I think the first step, which I think is this film is about that step, is to be open to it. Because if not, you can be trapped in a mental prison of sorrow and the past.
How did you get Trine Dyrholm for the role?
A wonderful producer said, if you could dream big, who do we want for the role as Vibeke? And I think Trine is the greatest actor we have in Denmark. Maybe in all of Europe, I don't know, but at least she is. I've grown up with Trine. She's an amazing singer and actor. And
yeah, she can sing too.
She can sing really good, right? I've been to some concerts of her. It's amazing. She is a very, very gifted artist. So I said, I wanted Trine Dyrholm, of course, but I didn't think in my wildest fantasies that she would say yes. But Josefine Park, who's a wonderful actor as well, who plays the sister, Rikke, in the film, I worked with her on another television show, and she actually knew Trine quite well. So she told her that she asked Trine if she would want to read our script, and then Trine read it and said she wanted to meet with me, and we drank a coffee and talked for a long time. And I was so nervous. The little child in me was like, oh my God, you're going to meet Trine Dyrholm. That's amazing. After the meeting, looked at me and she said, okay, I'll do it. And from that point on, she has been a tremendous partner and in making this film. She is really, really, as I said, gifted artist, but she's also a really kind human being.
How did she connect to the themes of the film? Did you discuss these themes? Did she have input for the role?
She has a lot of input, and a lot of what you see on the screen is Trine and her way of expressing the role. We talked a lot about the script and our intentions and the theme of forgiveness, family, mental illness, motherhood, all those things that's in the film. It was a big collaboration, not just with Trine, but also with Simon Bendebjerg, who plays the main character Carl, and Josefine Park, who plays Rikke. We had a nice group thing going. It was a collaboration to end up where we are now. And I think Trine had her own ways into the themes, which on a personal level, I don't know anything about, but she has a way of using her craft to understand every human being. I think she wants to understand. She's quite empathetic.
The film also has a very interesting color scheme. You have these soft lights, these white colors. How did you develop it and how did you create it?
Well, I have a wonderful photographer, David Bauer, who is an expert on those things. And we quite early on found the hotel, where the whole film takes place, Marienlust Beach Hotel. And they have these long halls with all these colors you're describing and so on. So we kind of like said, okay, let's use what's here and expand on that and make the whole film like this soft, warm, cozy, not hard for the eyes to be in, because we thought that the film had to express some sort of comfort to let the mother who comes along without being invited disrupt it even more.
And we also have the hotel setting, which is of course very charged in cinema, but also very interesting because it's a home that's not really your home. So how did you find the locations, and was that always in the script to have the action play out in a hotel and not at home?
Quite early on, we knew it had to be at a hotel, and I stayed at that hotel like many years ago with my girlfriend. And while I was there, I was like, this place is weird, but in a good kind of way. I want to make a film here one day. And then we started writing The Guest, and we had to we knew it had to take place in a hotel and not at somebody else's home. And then we thought of Marienlust, and we drove up there and saw it and talked to them, and they were quite open to have us there, actually. So it was a really easy task, actually, to get the hotel, which I was very fond of. I feared it had been much more difficult to find a place that could suit the whole film, but we were lucky.
What would you say were the biggest challenges when creating and realizing this project?
I think you have to be patient when you're making a film. There's a long wait between financing and everything getting aligned and getting the actors' calendars and the crew and the hotels and all those things. So I think the hardest part for me was to just sit tight when sometimes you wanted to like go, go, go. But then I have been really fortunate with the people and my crew I worked with. I have enjoyed going to work every day and making this film, actually. And I think what I'm most proud of is I've chosen the right people for the different kind of tasks.
Parenthood is there in several ways. We have Trine Dürrholm as a mother, but also the main character is a father to a little baby. How does that connect to yourself, and why did you want to have this double structure?
Well, I became a father myself while we made the film. Like early on in the script process, suddenly my girlfriend was pregnant, and I now have a beautiful little son. So, and the same thing happened for the scriptwriter Christian Bengtsson as well. So our perspective, as it does for many people who become parents, first-time parents, our perspectives on life and family and everything changed a lot. And we knew that we had to have that feeling and that experience. We had to have that in the film in some way. And then we realized Carl also need to have a child. That is why he is suddenly starting to get open to look at his life in a different light, I think.
An essential aspect of this theme of neurodivergence is that there is this factor of inheritance, and there are a ton of studies on it, but we still don't know if it's inherited or if it's like this nature versus nurture thing. If there's a genetic component that you will get it, or if you will not get it, you might be a loaded weapon, but nobody ever pulls the trigger. How did you think about that? Was there a moment when you wanted to put it more in the story, or is it there in some way? Because I was always kind of looking for it, and it never really seemed to come out for me.
Well, it's an excellent question. Excellent. Talked a lot about that, and we had some versions of the script where it had a bigger part in the film than it has now. You asked me before what was the hardest part, and now I realize I think the hardest part is to cut things you like from the story to make it as clean as possible. Like, we worked for this film for 4 years. We had a lot of stuff. I could have made this film 20 hours long, and luckily I didn't. But it was a big thing, and I know it's a big thing. It's been in my thoughts as well. As everyone who becomes a parent, afraid of what are we giving to our children. And I think that feeling gets even more extreme when you have some sort of condition or illness or something with you, a label on you. And we talked to a lot of, some of them didn't want to have a child just for that reason. And it was quite moving to hear their stories, and I felt great sympathy for them. We also met some other who said, fuck it, I still want to get a child. And I think that fear can be a dangerous thing if you let it consume you. I think you can end up not daring to make some choices you want to make. Fear of not doing it right can be overwhelming. I think people who suffer from mental illness in any way or shape or form, I think this part of it feels a lot for them.
It's also a big pressure on the relatives, because if you have a relative with any mental condition, then to put it frankly, everybody's always waiting for you to snap.
Yes.
Everything you do will be judged in relation to that mental illness. Like, oh, is that already the first sign, or did you just once lose your temper? The main character, that he seems very calm and very composed, like, seem to be a direct reflection of having a parent who behave like that, because you have to be super accurate to not be suspected yourself to have the same condition.
Exactly. And that was a very important part also for Simon, who plays Carl, the main character. It was a big part of his role. Like, he had to be really controlled, because inside of him there's a lot of things going on, and as you say, he wants to run away from what he comes from. He doesn't want to like his mother in any way, shape or form. And also, I think the thing about Vibeke is that her children, and actually everybody around her, they're always looking, as you said, like, is this it? Are you just normal now, or are you sick? And that's the thing about a lot of these things we talk about, they're invisible, like, and we don't quite understand them. If I were to tell you that I had cancer, everyone would know how to react. I would get a lot of sympathy, and oh my God, and I had to go to the hospital and do all these kinds of things, which is horrible for the people who experience it. But we as a society and as people are much more, we have a much easier way of understanding this physical illness, and the mental ones are, a lot of them are invisible. So where do you draw the line from just being you with your personalities and everything, and now you're sick? And I think a lot of people who suffer from mental illness in any way can feel quite judged on the scope all the time. Like, everybody's always watching, and you can't just, as you said, what if you're just angry? What if you're just like old school, regular angry? Then you would always be put in the perspective that you in many ways are sick.
This also relates to the theme of forgiveness, which you mentioned earlier, because it's very hard, as you said, to tell where does the personality start and where does the illness stop. And that also can work in a reverse way, because you wonder, how angry am I allowed to be at that person? Are they to blame for what they do? Sometimes they also are to blame. Sometimes they are just being, as you said, like, sometimes they're just being assholes and it's not the illness. And then you wonder, like, can I be angry on them, or am I a bad person? And this necessity of drawing a line and saying, like, I cannot live with that permanent pressure and of constantly having to look after that person. So was that a lot of discussion also in the acting? Was there like a conscious decision, okay, now the character of Vibeke is in her mental phase, or now she's being like normal?
Yeah, we talked, me and Trine talked a lot about it, and sometimes we talked with Simon and Josefina about it, and other times we didn't, because we also wanted them to like being this in this constant state of analyzing, which I think is also quite normal. Siblings have two very different reactions to growing up with a mother who suffers from these things as Vibeke does, so they're always on a constant alert. Josefina's reaction is to smother her and being all around her, and Carl's reaction is to draw himself away from the situation. So we talked a lot about that. I think the relationship and the scenes between all three of them always lives in this gray area, this gray zone of what is what. Where's mom right now? Where am I to mom right now? And where's my sister to mom right now? And so on and so on.
A major aspect that is actually very much explored is medication and the question, what does medication do? So the film has a relatively positive approach to medication as something that can help? How was that a discussion? And was there also a moment when there were maybe more negative views? Because I know that it's a very contentious subject, if medication helps or if medication even makes it worse.
Well, I'm actually not sure I would describe it as the film has a positive view on medication. But I think for me, the medication in the film is what the loved ones, you try to control the uncontrollable. You try to understand what's not understandable, and you try to see what's invisible, and they can't. So I think the medication says more about Carl than it does about me, because he's fixated on trying to understand if she's taking her medication, where is it, and all these things that's in the film. And I think it's his way of trying to control something instead of just dealing with the emotions and being in the situations. Because my own personal view on medication is, as you said, is complicated. I have met people who, where they saved their lives and they gave them back some things they could never do. And I've seen people being trapped on it and never being able to get off it, because it is drugs. It's drugs for the brains, and they're strong, some of this medication. And if you get like the wrong medication, and
it can fuck you up.
Exactly. I think we could talk about that for many hours. Like, how did we end up in this situation where the only way we can really try to treat these illnesses is with medication? And I think it also reflects on how the society approached this thing. We have approached it the same way as we wanted if you get physically sick. So I don't think that it's as black as white as I would say the medication is good. But I think it is a way of trying to control a situation.
What would you hope for people if they see this film, that they take away from it, especially families that might watch it together?
Well, I hope they will have a moment where they will be like, oh, I should call my dad, I should call my mom, or I should call my son, or I haven't talked to them for a long time. I think that would be nice. I believe in small steps is the right way to approach things you thought was locked in the past. If I could dream, I would say that the film was just maybe someone who started to take these small steps when after they watched it. That would make me very happy. Tonight, it's first time tonight, like 5 o'clock or something. I'm looking really, really forward to it.
Is there already a new project that you're working on at the moment?
Yes, several actually. I'm working on a television show, and also me and Christian is starting to write our next feature. I love working with him, and he's a script machine, and I mean this in the best way. So right now we're actually in early development.
Would you like just maybe one word, what's it about?
It's about the state of journalism today.
I'd be very interested in seeing that. So thank you so much, Mats Mengel, and the guest is now in Crystal Globe competition.